Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Bol. Everyone, all the men sing loudly, loudly. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Bol. Rama. Everyone, Hare Krishna, loudly. Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.
Om Ganatimanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Similatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam. Vansha Kalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayivacha Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. If we were viewing a movie of this morning's talk by Maharaj, we would have to back it up quite a bit to begin where I'm going to begin. Because Maharaj spoke about something very, very, very wonderful. We heard something so sweet this morning. How to, using the verse, the most famous verse that glorifies Giriraj Govardhan, Hantayan Adri Abala Haridas Varjo. And we learned how to, or we began to learn how to take that verse into our heart, into our mind, and enter deeply into its spirit to taste its sweetness. But for conditioned souls, Hari Bol Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
Just when you mention conditioned souls, most
conditioned souls. No, no, I mentioned sweetness, about entering into the sweet mood of Vrindavan. And we were also singing Jai Sachinandan. So from what you, from your, isn't it so nice to be here? You can just take the. So we're going back from the point that you were speaking about this morning, from after we've gotten somewhat of the carrot to make us go forward. What I would like to speak about, first of all, is the very nature of the creation. This is going back quite a bit, because I've been speaking about recently in the Bhagavatam, on the second canto and the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And next year, Krishna willing, we'll get to the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And in the second canto of the Bhagavatam and in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, the very nature of our being here in the material world is described. And it describes aham eva sam eva gre nanyat yat sarasat param, that in the beginning there was only Lord Mahavishnu. This is before the creation. And then gradually he glances at the material world, at the pradhan. Actually, this is even before the material world is created. Here we are sitting at the foot of Govardhan Hill speaking about these very basic tattvas about the creation of the universe. So there is this pradhan, which pradhan just means the primary ingredient. And then the Lord glances at that pradhan. And in that glance are the jivas. That means each and every one of us, not the bodies, but the soul. We are injected into the material world by the glance of Mahavishnu. And along with the soul comes the soul's karma, and also the kala shakti. What is kala shakti? Time. Kalosmin loka chaya krit, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that of time I am the destroyer of the material world. So that time factor is like a big stirring rod. And the jivas, their karma, their own personal karma, is pushed in the material energy by that time factor. And those jivas, they begin to acquire their swabhava through their karma. They begin to acquire their nature. Now, what is the first thing that is created, basically, in this material world? Because first, in the pradhan stage, it's unmanifested. Then it starts manifesting into the mahatattva. What is the first thing that is created? Huh? Yep. Unfortunately, it's false ego. Now, I think I have trouble with my mind, but that's nothing compared to the trouble I have with my false ego. This is the essential covering over the soul. We quoted that verse, Krishna Bhule Se Jeev. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva turns his back on Krishna, and then he enters the material world, and the first thing he acquires is a false ego. This is the basic covering. Because by nature, we are what? We're what? Not only Satchitananda, that's a partial definition of what we are. We are servants of Krishna. And the verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivera Sarupoi. This is the very Swarupa, the very nature, his own rupa, his own form, his nature, is Swarupa, Krishner Nityadas. We are servants of Krishna. It's unavoidable. But we're covered by this false ego because we don't want to serve Krishna. And therefore, that's our real ego, is that we're servants of Krishna. And then we get covered because we don't want to serve Krishna. We need a false identity, and that's called false ego. This is the root of the problem. Now, the creation continues. And of course, and I had so many books to read, and we can talk about the creation here and there and how the nature of the false ego. I'll just say one verse. Purusha Prakriti Stohi. Actually, we are all Prakriti. So this is the core of the problem. We're covered by this false identity. So when Krishna instructs Arjuna right at the end, his real instruction, as Prabhupada tells us again and again, is to get rid of the false ego. So there are two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, and I'll read those, that describe the getting rid of the false ego. And it basically, this is where bhakti begins. And this is where we actually become devotees. So Krishna explains, we're all familiar with these verses, and this, he says, is sarva guhyatamam. This is a very, very deep secret. Because people don't go to religion to come to this point of removing the false ego. This is a very heavy thing. This is what he says. Because you are my very dear friend, because of you are very dear to me, I'm speaking to you my supreme instruction. Supreme instruction on this level, which means if you want to get out of the material world, it has to happen at the core. And that is the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me. It is for your benefit. Now what is it going to be? We know. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vyasyati satyam te. Krishna says, you will come to me satyam te, definitely. I promise you this. Pratijane priyosame. Why? Because you are dear to me. In this, it hints at all the points of bhakti. How to become priya to Krishna. How to become dear to Krishna. And make him promise to take us back. Because if Krishna doesn't bless us with that, how are we going to get out of this heavy, heavy entanglement of the material world? And of course, the way is, and this is the way, manmana, think of me. Manmana, think of me. Bhava mad bhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, offer your serve me, offer your obeisance to me, worship me. Mam namaskaru, offer your obeisances to me. Then I will take you back to me. I promise you this. He says it twice. Pratijane. And satyam, this is true, I promise you this. And then manmana. And then sarvadamam pratyaja. Everyone? Mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam eva sapebhyo moksha shami masucha. Masucha, Prabhupada explains in the purport. Don't hesitate, don't fear, don't worry. So therefore, we are here because we want to become devotees and we want to surrender to Krishna. But I would like to bring up a very sensitive point that we come to become devotees and we come to surrender to Krishna, but there is a great difference between how the service that Mother Yasoda does when she is feeding Krishna her breast milk and what Putana does when she is feeding Krishna her breast milk. And I would like to suggest that the difference is one of attitude. Mother Yasoda has placed Krishna in the center. Recently, I've read a prayer where it says about Mother Yasoda that she is willing to suffer millions of births and I'm starting to paraphrase and make up things, but this is the general idea. She's willing to suffer unlimitedly. Unlimitedly. Millions of pains and births and troubles so that Krishna doesn't have to undergo one drop of inconvenience of perspiration upon his body. This is bhakti, this is love, this is Mother Yasoda, this is braja. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Krishna's Kaviraj in the fourth chapter describes the attitude of the gopis, and it describes, he says that whatever it appears that they're doing, they're dressing themselves, they're putting on this, they're putting on that, they're putting on this. But don't think that there is one hint of doing this for their own pleasure in there. whatever it superficially appears like, they're looking in the mirror, but their only thought is to please Krishna, like Haridasa Varjo. And that verse, by the way, is spoken, Raghunath Das Goswami reveals that that verse emanates from the lotus mouth of Srimati Radharani herself, glorifying Giriraj Govardhan. So that's Mother Yasoda and all the residents of Vrindavan on one hand, and on the other hand, there is Putana, who is dressed also very, very nicely, and she's bejeweled and looks very beautiful. But her desire is to kill Krishna. So we tend, and again this is a sensitive point, we tend to become devotees, but our actions perhaps aren't as gross as Putana's. We don't want to kill Krishna. But there is a tendency to adopt the dress of a devotee and not, and especially after some time, because we in the beginning surrender means just sort of do what you're told. But surrender actually means, or Bhagavad Dharma, we spoke about this in our Bhagavatam overview classes, it means Prema Dharma, it means Bhagavat Dharma, it means placing Krishna in the center. It means removing false ego. The purification and the surrender has to come to that point if we want to truly enter into Braja and take up our relationship to Krishna. We have to give up our selfishness in all its different gross and subtle forms, our self-centeredness. And we have to place Krishna in the center. This is attitude. So we can do service in so many attitudes, with so many attitudes, but this is the attitude of Braja. And especially, and we'll be hearing about it, how everything is centered around Krishna with a special type of mamata, prema and mamata, a feeling of, in Vaikuntha, the mood there is in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it describes the false conception of this, of my and I and mine. So in the spiritual world, it is Krishna. Now in the material world, I am this, and obviously I'm not that, right? Could that possibly be me? No. And what's mine is whatever I can accumulate. The body and anything I can accumulate, I and mine. But in Vaikuntha, I am Krishna's and Krishna's mine. But in Vaikuntha, I am Krishna's is prominent. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is mine is prominent. And that's called mamata, a feeling of possessiveness. Very, 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 very complete and specific. A specialist's type of love for Krishna that takes very, very careful cultivation. And very, very deep sincerity. Very, very deep sincerity. Full, complete, 100% complete sincerity. So the question is obvious. How to get from this position to that position? How to get from the position of self-centeredness, selfish-centeredness, or putana-ness, to actual bhakti, where there is no false ego involved. How to change our consciousness at the very core, at that deepest covering of false ego, where I am thinking that I am the center. Any suggestions? This one's for old devotees, young devotees. Yes, first suggestion. Serve devotees. Thank you. Any other suggestions? Krishna Leela, I know you have. Preach. Get Krishna's mercy in that way. Thank you. Keep hearing. Thank you. Any other suggestions? Chanting. Chanting what? Yes. Which holy name? Yes. Hare Krishna. Yes. Yes. Chanting, what else? Yes? Hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna. hear about Krishna, remember Krishna. What was the other thing? And accept it. Yes. Assimilate it. Vrajbihari, did you want to offer any sagacious advice? Come to VIHE. Yes.
And that means approaching a guru.
Finding out what Krishna wants, approaching a guru, yes.
And
doing that, yes. Thank you. I would like to make one point here, and these are all certainly appropriate suggestions, and all of Panchanga Bhakti, touching the dust of Braja, hearing everything, yes. Everyone, this is the unfortunateness of sitting on the, there's no dust of Braja around. Yeah. It's underneath, not around. But I would like to emphasize one particular one at that time. When Mahaprabhu was asked of how to, what is the activity of a devotee, his reply was Sarusanga Sarva Shastra Koi Lava Matrate. Sarusange Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That's the association with devotees is so important. In fact, there is one verse, and let's see if I can still remember it, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj says. He says, Krishna Bhakti, what does that mean? We all know what that means. Janma Mula, the very root that causes Krishna Bhakti to take its birth. Janma Mula, Hoya is Sarusanga, Sarusange. So the very root of bhakti is association with sadhus. And then he says, Krishna preme janme teno purna mukya anga. That up to the point, so it's the root, but up to the point also of Krishna prema, purna mukya anga. The same principle is the principle that makes us advance. Purna, again, mukya anga, this anga, sadhu sangha. Because the internal energy, the dust from Vrindavan that's in their hearts by their association becomes transferred. And I would like to make some other suggestions. One is, there are so many exalted sadhus. Before I make that other suggestion, I would like to actually read something from Kapila Dev when he brings this point up. Kapila Muni in the 25th chapter of the third canto. He says, we're talking about the principle of sadhusanga, or the association of devotees. He says, this is in the 20th verse, and we'll read a few verses. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material, for matter, is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. Indeed, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said, once one has given up the principle that I want to enjoy in the material world, once one has given that up, given up that desire, at least to a strong degree, he has taken the greatest step towards spiritual advancement. So this is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But the same attachment, the principle of attachment, this is what it means to be a soul, alive. You have to be attached to something. When applied to the self-realized devotees, it opens the door, moksha dwaram, apavritam. It opens the door of liberation. So then one asks naturally, well, what's a sadhu? So then Kapila explains a very famous verse. Tatikshava karunaka surida savadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sarva sarubhushanam. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Ahaituki apratiyata yayatma supasidate. It's causeless and continuous. For the sake of the Lord, He renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within the world. This is what a sadhu is. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries. They're in the material world. How is it possible they don't suffer? Because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. O my mother, O virtuous lady, who is Kapila Muni speaking to? Devahuti, his mother. These are the qualities of great devotees who are freed from all attachments, but not all attachments, meaning they're not free from this attachment, they're free from the attachment to matter. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious. I looked up pernicious in the dictionary, the pernicious effects of material attachment. Pernicious means evil, insidious. It causes so much trouble and difficulty, material attachment. It counteracts this attachment to sadhus. But what does it mean to be attached to sadhus? What is the purpose of it all? What is the purpose? What happens when one's attached to sadhus? The next verse explains in a very famous verse, Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna rasayanaha kata. In the association of sadhus, of pure devotees, Satam prasangam, that means sangam, associating with the sat, the devotees, mama virya, samvido, discussions take place that are full of power, and those discussions are about me, virya, they are full of power. Bhavanti ritkarna rasayanaha kata, this kata, bhavanti ritkarna, it enters the ear, and it is, and the heart, the ear to the heart, ritkarna. From the ear it goes right into the heart. And it will cleanse the heart at its root. This root problem of false ego. And it is rasayana. This is the actual, it is pleasing. It is full of rasa. Pleasing to the ear and to the heart. It is medicine. This is what it means to associate with sadhu. It doesn't mean anything. It means other things, but this is the core of what it means. It means hearing from them. They are taking what's in their heart and expressing it through their mouths, these pure devotees. And it enters the ear of the hearer and it enters the heart. So it's a heart-to-heart transfer. So, I would like to suggest that that everyone in ISKCON, who is in Prabhupada's ISKCON, regardless of what other sadhus we associate with, and there are many, they also, in addition, must also associate with Srila Prabhupada. Everyone should associate with Srila Prabhupada. And how to do so, the premise of the presentation that I will make over the next few days of my specific one is that we should read Prabhupada's books. Because this, Prabhupada said, was this was his great gift. He put so much time and energy into it. And in this way, we will associate with that sadhu who was so dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he was given the mission and empowerment and responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness to every town and village of the world. Otherwise, how would, if it wasn't for Prabhupada's mercy, how would it be possible for us to be sitting here by Govardhan Hill, so far from the place we were born, and so many people from different parts of the world sitting here together peacefully, really by Prabhupada's mercy. So, a big part of this moving from where now in our aspiring devotees. So to move, to be, because surrender is not something that it is done and over with usually. It is something that becomes more and more and more and more and more complete. So to bring it to the point and to the depth of removal of the false ego, my suggestion and the suggestion of this topic is that we prayerfully read from Srila Prabhupada's books each day, and in that way associate with and take instructions from Srila Prabhupada. Now the system of prayerful reading is actually very, very simple. But it's getting dark and it's getting cold, so we won't get into it very much now. But what we're going to do very soon is move to the temple room, and there we'll practice some prayerful reading, and then maybe we'll have a little break, and then we'll go into kirtan after that. What time is Brajbihari still amongst us? I don't. It's for 6:30. Whether we'll exactly make it at 6:30 or not, but 6:30. Yes, flowing time. We're on Govardhan flowing time today. So just to go over very simply the basic principle of this prayerful reading. Raise your hand if you have not read the. There's a little sheet that has three pages. It's not long. Maybe right after we finish, we can. It's. We gave this out last year. But it's very, very simple, because the point is attitude. So if we understand, as Maharaj was speaking about this morning, and as Jagtwini Mataji was speaking about this morning, there is a realm of sweetness, a world of sweetness where we actually belong. We feel out of place in the material world. We should feel out of place in the material world because we don't belong here. And there's a realm of sweetness in Braja, in Golokadham, in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan, and that is where we belong. But we can't go there until we acquire certain characteristics. So the first step is in this prayerful reading is to get in the proper mood or attitude that I want some instructions. I don't want to be in the material world. I don't think this is my home. I don't want to make my attempt to be happy. If we want to make an attempt to be happy in the material world, well, there it is. Go for it. Try. But for this particular mood, we understand that I want to become a servant of Krishna, but here I am, very, very incapable and needing association and needing instruction. So Prabhupada and the great acharyas who Prabhupada quotes and has reference to and is representing, and the holy books, we approach the books in that prayerful, with a prayerful mood and a prayerful attitude, and become very receptive in that way. And then we read, but not try to accomplish really, really a lot in this specific type of reading. Just read. You can pick a place before, and there's some detailed suggestions in this in that little handout. And you read, but read very, very carefully and try to assimilate what Prabhupada is telling us. This is the association with Prabhupada. This is association with a wonderful sadhu, powerful. And take those instructions, and maybe in, say if you were going to, one was going to read for 15 minutes, one might read a paragraph, or one might read only a line if there was something that very deeply struck him and he wanted to think about it and pray about it like that. But read very, very deeply and carefully and prayerfully with the right attitude, and try to assimilate. If we assimilate one thing, one point, but not superficially, but deeply, so that it actually affects us and influences our life, we've taken a step. And if we every day take a step towards Krishna, then the result will be wonderful. And then after one reads in that way in a designated amount of time, then one can prayerfully end the reading and then go about one's life and trying to keep the point in mind. We'll be speaking about these principles over the next few days. So what I think we should do now is we can pay our respects to Giriraj Govardhan, and we can move towards the temple room, and we'll break up into small groups. I would suggest that the older devotees stay together, just in this particular one, and the younger devotees stay together, just for this particular one. Just in groups of four and five. Are the books there? They're there already. And everyone take a book, and individually try to get your attitude right. Everything begins with attitude. And sit alone and read for, we'll start it off for 15 minutes only, because we'll abbreviate things. And then take a few minutes, and then we'll take 5 or 10 minutes and write down any thoughts you want to. And then we'll discuss amongst in your group for 15, 20 minutes. We'll see how the time is going. So I'll repeat these instructions when we get over there. But let's move in that direction right now. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai.